Good to have Tammy back behind the piano. I want to welcome you here this morning. If you're a regular member, regular attender, you're always welcome. We hope you know that and feel that. If you're visiting, we want to let you know that you are also welcome. As our guest, we want to make you feel at home. Want to offer to help with whatever we can and to answer any questions that we can. As we start this morning, let you know that this is not our normal service from here on out. Corey, who's been speaking, is on vacation this week. So this seemed like a convenient time for the elders to get up and to talk about our future planning, what our future plans for the church here at Martell. No, we didn't wait until Corey was gone. he has been involved. He sits in on our meetings, and he's been involved in doing this planning with us also. So like I say, just a convenient time, so we didn't have to get someone else to fill in. This looked like a good time to do this. So we hope you're able to see from this that we are taking this serious, but we certainly want your feedback, and hopefully, again, you'll see that as we go through this. So, as we start, technology. One of the things we're going to mention this morning. try again. Oh, it's working, right? Or did you push that button? You pushed it. Okay, that don't help. That don't help. Let's see. The laser's not working. So is the battery. Maybe I've got the other side. Let's try that. There we go. Now I've got lights. Hey, we're cool now. All right. You didn't do that, right? Okay. So here we go. We'll get started. First thing we need to talk about is the need for planning, you know, and I don't want to get into the nuances of why we plan and what good is a plan, all that stuff you hear at work or everywhere else. Just in general, why are we talking about this now? At the end of 2017, of course, our pulpit minister, Adam, left to take another position with CEM, and Corey's been filling in since then and doing a good job. And just for your information also, we've modified Corey's duties so that we are trying to avoid overload. You can understand that if he tried to cover the job responsibilities we had for both him and Adam, that he probably would be already burned out. But it is something we try to monitor on an ongoing basis, and we've changed his duties accordingly. So, but if you're aware of anything that we're not aware of, please let us know. You might imagine that almost immediately the question arose as to whether or not to hire a second minister. And so, of course, that came up in the elders' meeting, something we wanted to talk about. And we all have opinions and preferences, even among the leadership. But what we were looking for this time is maybe a more concrete way to justify an answer, rather than I think so, or so-and-so thinks so, or that's the way we've done it now for 15-plus years. Let's make sure that we've got some planning behind this and that we think we know where we're going. So what you're going to see this morning is how the elders have approached this question, okay? And what we're going to be looking for is your input, not only today, but in the next week or two, and then certainly going forward from here. So we won't have much feedback today. This won't be an open discussion. There will be a handout at the end of the services, so hopefully you don't have to take too many notes. All the information will be in the handout. We're on the handout, there will be contacts for all the elders. They're in the bulletin every week already, but just so you have it in your hand if you want it. And also, we're planning a meeting a week from tomorrow, Monday evening here at the building. We figured we'd give you at least a week to mull over it, think about it, discuss it. If you're interested, please come to that meeting. It's going to be an open meeting in that we don't have an agenda. We don't intend to present anything at that meeting. It'll be for whoever shows up to discuss either options or ideas, or to discuss anything in detail that you're going to see here this morning. Okay? So with all that said, we'll get into it. As easy as it is to plan, and yes, there are some engineers in the leadership. Say what? I guess I forgot to do that already. Just to make sure you know who the elders are, I'm always surprised when somebody says, well, so-and-so an elder? Yes. The elders, Henry, if you'll raise your hand, Henry is one of our elders. Henry Wright, we have Randy Moyer, Trent Jeffries. There, okay, sitting here, I missed him, so there we go. Scott Simpson is also an elder. He is not here this morning, off with the family on vacation. And myself then, we make up the five elders. So as we started through this process and we start thinking about where is the church going to go, it's the old proverbial elephant. Where do you take a bite first if you're going to eat the elephant? So we decided that we're going to have to come up with some sort of plan to even be able to talk about this. How do we decide on a future plan for MCC? We have GEM, and hopefully you're familiar with that. It is in the bulletin, and part of the revamp that Rebecca did this last winter includes that every week with some detail. In that, we have the gather and engage and make a difference. And that's what we have called our discipleship process. Okay, if you're looking for another word, we could call it a maturity process. And it works very well for that. It's good for evaluating where you are or even where some of your ministries may be. The very lowest level of involvement is just getting together, gathering like this. If you're here this morning or if you get together in a small group, okay, that's a good start. If you want to increase your maturity and increase your discipleship, you're going to have to engage with either the members of that group or with the congregation or with the work to be done here. There's several levels we can talk about engagement. And then the ultimate goal is to go out and make a difference. So as we talk about a discipleship process or a maturity process, you can evaluate yourself this morning. Where are you on that process? How are you doing in your maturity? As we started to talk about future planning, though, we thought we probably need a little more. We need a way to talk about more of the details. So we needed to be able to look at something, you know, with some more granularity, if you will. So to move forward, we chose the following process. Very simple, three steps. First, figure out where we're at, okay? What we called our present status. Nothing magic about any of these terms. It's just we made up terms so that we could talk the same thing every week, okay? The next thing is determine where we want to be. We called that our future state. And then the third one, how do you get from number one to number two? If you know where you're at and where you want to be, then what is the path to get there, okay? Pretty simple process, but at least it gave us something to start our discussion with. So when we start talking about our present status, where are we now? And what we did is actually spend a couple meetings talking about these type of details. So what are our strengths? We generated quite a list. We're not going to go through the whole list now. And our goal this morning is not to go through and evaluate all of those, but just give you a flavor of some of the things that we talked about. We think we're relatively organizationally sound. We have good leadership from, you know, there's variety there with time. And if you don't realize it, for a congregation this size to have five elders is unusual, okay? It is a blessing in that sense, okay? So that's one of the things we count as a strength. We have a good foundation on the organizational pieces, and that's going to be stuff like bylaws and policies and organization, how we do things. We're not presently limited by facilities. In other words, there are a few empty seats here, okay? So this room is not limiting us, all right? We could grow at this point. And we're financially sound, okay? We have good practices and no debt, those type of things. We'll talk about that in a moment. We have many active ministries. We have an excellent missions program and mindset. again, something that's very unusual among churches is when we push 35% of our income directly into missions. Again, that's something that you don't see very often at all. And we have a missions group that handles that very well. And we have many members who are willing to get involved and actually go on the missions themselves and support them. We have a youth program for both middle and high school students. We have several active small groups. And depending on any certain week, we'd have as many as 70 different people involved in some of the small groups. Again, just to give you the kudos, when you do the reading, a lot of congregations use this as a measure of how well they're doing, because either they're getting away from Sunday school or they're getting away from all other meetings except the assembly. So then they look to see their small groups and see how those are going. Most churches are happy if they reach 25% involvement in small groups. So I just want to say kudos. Keep going. You're doing good. We believe that is important, and it is something that we can, something that will help us as we grow together. We also believe we have Christ-centered worship. It's something where we have several that are involved. I'm sure they could use more involvement if anyone would like to help with leading the worship. But it is something where everyone is able to worship now, and we hear lots of good comments and feedback about that. As part, also we had some general descriptive terms, okay? Just pile these together. We're a very generous, friendly, and welcoming church body. We have a heritage of generational faith. In other words, we have ages, from little ones to old ones and everything in between. We have a strong family emphasis, and we have many gifted members. And we actually went through and listed some of these, artists and organization and, those are the type of things we have gifts here. So those are a lot of the strengths we talked about. The next thing we talked about are what we would call weaknesses. Things maybe we're not so good at. Not necessarily that we're going to go out and try to fix all these, but just things that we have either heard or have noticed. One, for a place called Martell Christian Church, we aren't really known in Martell. Okay? We don't have a lot of evangelism. We don't have a lot of outreach locally. The building could become a limitation. When we have been up to 150 in membership, we start to have troubles with classrooms, and it starts to become a challenge moving that many people up and down the one hall, and things like that. So the building could become a limitation if we grew much larger. We can always use more involvement in the work and service in the ministries of the church. Just ask Cheryl. Just ask the worship team. They're always looking for people who can help with the work. As a body, we are quick to welcome and slow to embrace. And what is meant by that statement is, we've heard it from several people that we're very welcoming, friendly. Sometimes, I don't know if it's possible to be too friendly, but we are friendly to people that come in, but they still have a difficulty sometimes in plugging in or feeling accepted. We're not going to talk about why or how right now. It's just something we've heard. This phrase came up, and so we just listed it this way: ages behind in technology. Okay, well, we use PowerPoint. That's the projector. We've been projecting now for about 15, 16 years, which to us is great if you are aware of what technology is out there. Again, this is not necessarily something we have to change, but just something to be aware of, okay? Communications is not adequate within the body, and that's starting with the leadership. Leadership to the deacons, leadership to the ministry leaders, among the membership, something that we could improve on. We have lots of small groups, but right now they all kind of run by themselves. Perhaps we need to get a focus there or some cohesion and try to get them moving the same direction. We don't have a lot of training or programs for specific groups, and some of that's going to be just simply because of our size. With this last winter, we had the start of the women's ministry, so they have been trying to work on that, try to provide specific classes and needs of the women. But we really don't have anything for fathers or for men or for parents specifically or for, you know, there'd be lots of groups we could try to meet. And just another thing we noticed is that, you know, 10 years ago we would have a potluck every month, and now not so much. So is that something that needs fixed? Again, something we noticed. Still, where are we? Our average attendance is about 110. Just for your information, we were adding about 10 per year until the last 2 years. These last 2 years, we have pretty much stuck around 110 now. We have 150 regular attendees. There are about 75 voting members. And one of those interesting statistics is that we have 48 of our regular attenders that are 18 or under. Okay, so a lot of children. That, again, is something that is good. It's great for this congregation. And if you do any traveling and visiting, you'll recognize why very quickly. We have a reasonable mix of age groups. The one thing we seem to be really missing are young singles. We have a variety of doctrinal and denominational background, which can be a plus, can be a minus. It's something that we just have to be aware of. But it does provide us with variety and does provide us with the opportunity then to show the unity that God calls us to. We have a lot that come from distance. Okay, one of the things we did was actually put together a demographic, if you will, of the area. And we've got Martell with the burgeoning population of around 300 and some odd. Okay. The next town, closest town, is Morley. And that's over 6 miles. And they've got 120 or so. Beyond that, you go to Lisbon, you go to Mount Vernon, you go to Anamosa. They're all just about 7 or 8 or 9 miles. You can go to Springville, and then you start moving out further. And you really have to go at least 10 miles to start running into population. So just something to be aware of. We are thankful for the people that we have that come and even make an effort driving so far. We mentioned financially earlier. Right now we have a month-end balance. We've been running around 160. 1,000. We own the building. We own the parsonage across the street. We have no debt. Okay? So that's just kind of a summary of where we are. So the next step in our process was to talk about where we want to go. Understand that everything I've talked about so far, a lot of it has at least some element of opinion. This is what we think, or this is what we're aware of, or this is what we perceive, or what we've heard. There's at least some room for difference of opinion, if you will. As we move into this area, there's a little less opinion because we are bound by what we are. We are Martell Christian Church. Christian means to be Christ-like. If we're wanting to be Christ-like, then we need to know what Christ was like and try to be that. Okay? If we believe and accept, as we do, that the Bible is God's word and that's where we find out all this stuff, then to find out what we are going to do or what we should do as a church is going to be less about our opinion and more about what the word of God says. Make sense? So as we start through this process, then we first talk about purpose. Why are we here? We'll go through a few scriptures real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." In 1 Peter 4, verse 11, "Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Revelation chapter 4, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. So I hope you caught the theme. Our purpose here, and this is going to apply to us as individuals or us as a body, as a church, is to glorify God. That's what we're here for. So it's going to apply to the church also. All right, so with that, we're done planning. No. You understand that we have a purpose, but there's still, we have to find a way to talk about this purpose. I can tell everyone here to go glorify God. That might, and see, easier to say than it is to go do, especially in an organized way. So beyond our purpose, then, we're looking for a way to, how do we know we're glorifying God? For lack of a better term, we called it a mission. How do we meet our purpose? Nothing magic about the word mission. It's just, again, something we chose. But we wanted to look into how we go and meet that purpose. Two scriptures out of Matthew, the first one out of chapter 28, what we call the Great Commission. It says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Another scripture in Matthew chapter 22, we call the Great Commandment, says, and he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So, with that said, we can kind of bunch that down into three statements. First, we make disciples, okay, from the Great Commission. That's where we proclaim the gospel, we go out and teach. Number two, we make disciples that love God and love each other. And three, we go and make disciples that make other disciples. Okay? Just hopefully a simple way to remember what's in those two great commands, or those two statements, the Great Commission and the Great Command scriptures. Notice that this is kind of similar to Jim. Okay? The idea of gathering first, we want to proclaim, we want to bring people in, we want to engage them, help them love God, help them love each other, and then we want them to go make a difference. We want you to go make a difference, to go make other disciples, to bring more people to meet God. Okay? So even with this, you know, again, we could almost stop here and say, go. But as a congregation, we're looking for a little more meat on the bones for as we plan, okay? So, again, for lack of a better term, we end up calling it method. This actually took us a little while. We had program down for a while, but nobody liked program. These are the things we do, and we already do a lot of these here. But it just gives us a way to talk about them relative to our purpose and our mission. So these, again, are the things that we do already. This list is not original in the sense that for those of you who remember going through the Purpose Driven Church book about 15 years ago, these are the five areas that they talked about in that book. We're not incorporating anything else from that book right now. But that's it's you may have seen these type of categories before. So when we talk about a future state where we think we want to go as a congregation, we want to glorify God, we want to make disciples, we want to make disciples that love God and love each other, we want to make disciples that are going to make other disciples, and the way we're going to concentrate on doing that is through these areas. We're going to have worship. that is Christ-centered. Okay, that's primarily loving God. Okay, we're going to talk about fellowship, where we are demonstrating our love for each other. Okay, that's how we love each other. When we talk about discipleship, that's a big chunk. We always talk about teaching and preaching, and in a sense, our youth program is a discipleship of a specific group. We have Sunday school, we have small groups. A lot of things can fit into that discipleship piece. When we talk about ministry, again, we're making disciples that serve. That our ministry are the different things we do here for the work of the church. And then the last one here is the missions. And as we've already talked about, we do great on our foreign missions. We probably need to talk about our local missions. That's all included in that one heading. Okay? One other note I want to make here is, as we've talked about future and our planning, notice that we've not talked about quantity per se, but more quality. And I think the idea is that we need to do what's right. And if we do what's right, the quantity, if you will, is not something that we are necessarily going to pursue, but we expect that it will follow. But that's not really what our purpose is. Our purpose is not to be huge. Our purpose is to do God's will. Okay? I expect the numbers will follow as we improve the quality, but that's not the direction we're heading when we talk about planning. Okay? So we've talked more about where we think we want to go. Now we're going to talk about how to get there. And we're back into the world of opinion. Okay? There is not one way. There is not going to be one magic bullet. There's not going to be one program or one decision that we make that is going to automatically move us to where we want to be. And we'll talk about that as we go a little bit. Per our process, we've looked at where we are. We've looked at where we want to be. So now we need to choose actions that are going to get us closer. Specifically, how can we improve our worship? Okay? Not only, we've already talked about, we think this is going really well, but are there things we need to do relative to technology? If we were a large congregation, we would go hire a minister for all of these areas. You understand? You know how a lot of they have a worship minister, and they have a youth minister, and they have a preaching minister, an education minister, an involvement minister, and even an evangelist to go help with outreach, okay? That's not an option here, in case you're wondering. But as we go through this, what are we doing, or what do we need to do to improve our worship? What do we need to do to improve our fellowship? What do we need to do to improve our discipleship? And we could spend time on each one of these, but not going to do that right now. You just understand how it works. We've generated some options already. And as the parentheses say up there, there has been no decision made. Could be a mix of options. Could be any one of these, and it could specifically be something that we don't even have up here yet. Obviously, the thing that started all this was going off and hiring a second minister. Okay, we could get one again. Corey was hired primarily for youth, but we didn't figure that was full-time, so we also asked him to help us with our outreach, as well as with our involvement and our families, and that was kind of his job description when he was hired. Okay, if we were to hire a second minister, how would we break up the workload? Do we need a second minister to make progress on these other things? We could make improvements to the building. This is an idea that has actually come from some of the members. We didn't have this on our list when we first talked about this from the elders' meetings, but we could update the entry. Again, we've heard a lot of times how it's difficult, especially in the winter, to get everybody in and out, especially when you're hanging up coats and everything else. The basement and the classrooms are ripe for improvement. What about the parsonage? What do we do with it? we have options. We could hire an administrative assistant, secretary, they used to call those, right? To help with the busy work, church events, documentation, the bulletin, maybe some of our organizational pieces, take some of that load off of Corey. Maybe it would help improve some of those ministries. Maybe we could get someone specifically that knows more about technology than we do. We could stay the present course. In other words, do what we're doing right now. We have a minister. We could work to shore up the other areas that we think need improvement by using more involvement or getting more people involved as ministry leaders or just more engagement by the present membership. And number five is, what else? What other options are there? Understand that these are just options. They are here to kick off the discussion, all right? We truly have not made any decisions yet. So as we talk about our future path and what we do want from the congregation, the elders are going to request three specific things. First of all, we would at least like your agreement on the process and the future state. Or if not total agreement, then some suggestions on how to improve it, okay? We've tried to keep a simple process to come to an answer. We've come up with what we think is a future state on where we think the congregation needs to go, and we'd like your thoughts on that, okay? The second thing is unity. No matter what the future path is, as long as we at Martell are pursuing our purpose and mission. So again, understand that the options that are coming forward, I guess I can guarantee something this morning. There is no one here who will agree with everything that happens, okay? And that's going to be within the eldership also. But what has to happen as a body of Christ is we need to stay unified no matter what happens. So if we agree on the purpose and if we agree on our mission and where we want to go, then we would like to have unity and move forward doing that as a group of brothers and sisters, as members of Christ's body. And the third thing, we would like your prayers and support as well as your feedback as we decide how to proceed from here. Of course, your prayers are coveted and you can offer those at any time. We'll take your feedback, however, via phone or email. I didn't mention there a meeting, but I know most of them will work for either coffee or pie. But they'll even come if you don't offer anything. We would be willing to meet with anyone, either individually or as a group. Please provide feedback. And as mentioned earlier, we're planning on having an open meeting here a week from Monday, 7 o'clock here at the building, where we will be looking for any discussion or feedback that you would want to provide. From here, understand that there won't be a decision made this week. We're going to start those discussions after the meeting that we have next week, after we hear from you and after we hear from as many people as possible. So with that said, that's really the end of what we have to present this morning as far as the planning. And if you want, you can pull the slides down and get ready for the songs in just a moment. And you can, the music team can get ready for that. At this point, I'll just say thanks for your attention. We trust that you can see that we are taking this seriously. We have heard things like, you're the leaders, go make that decision. Okay, and that's reasonable. We could certainly do that, but we believe this way we'll end up with a better answer in the long term. We truly want to glorify God. We truly want what is best for Martell Christian, and we want you to be on that journey with us. We always end with an invitation. You're always available, or you're always, the opportunity is always available to study or to call any of us as elders or Corey as the minister. So that invitation always stands. But as is our tradition, we end our service with a simple invitation. If you're ready to move forward with your salvation and to proclaim that in front of the body, or if you need the prayers of the congregation for things that you're dealing with in your life, then we give you the opportunity now to come as we stand and sing.